Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with a guess. Roam if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. Of course, if you've been listening to the show already, you know where we are. Get out your maps, boys and girls. 36 degrees, 38 minutes north, 93 degrees, 13 minutes west. And we are in Silver Dollar City, about 8 miles west of Branson, Missouri. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. Excuse my terrible voice because I've been living on airplanes. What a surprise. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. You know, what's amazing about this place is how it basically goes against stereotype. I've been to Branson many times, but most people think of it as blue-haired women on bus trips. And what they don't realize is where we are right now, by the way, we're in a 2,000-acre forest in the Ozarks at a place celebrating its 50th anniversary. And you probably haven't been here. When 60 Minutes came in and they described Branson as hillbilly Las Vegas, and Morley Safer said, "Why Branson?" And he says, "I don't know." Well, most people don't know till they get here, and then they realize that most people who get here stay here. That should tell you something. It's what's amazing is that it is very American. It is gone to 50 theaters, 100 shows, and it's not the bus trips anymore. People actually make a point of coming and returning. And when you talk about 8 million visitors a year, many of them are repeaters, and that says it all. Speaking of visiting places, we're going to take a quick geographic jump here, and when I saw the title of this book, I said, okay, we have to talk to this woman. She's the author of you've heard of 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. Okay, throw that one out, go to this one, 100 Places in Italy Every Woman Should Go. So of course I had to read that, being a single guy, because if they're going, I want to be there. Her name's Susan Van Allen. Hey, Susan.
Ciao, Peter.
Ciao, Peter. I love that. Now, I have to ask you, how did you pick the 100 places? And I'll be devil's advocate, so what makes you the expert?
Oh, okay. How did I pick the 100 places? Well, that was kind of a panic. If you've ever been to Italy, you know that there are well more than 100 places every woman should go, or everybody should go. I've been going to Italy since 1976. My maternal grandparents were immigrants, and they inspired me as a child. So as soon as I could, right after high school, with money that I'd saved up, I got to Italy with a pack on my back and my Let's Go Italy under my arm, and there I went. And I met my Italian relatives and fell in love with it. So I've been traveling there pretty steadily ever since then. Jumping all over the place because I love it so.
Well, you know, I pride myself that if it's in the brochure, I don't want to know about it. So obviously I'm gonna guess that of these 100 places, a lot of them are not in the brochure.
Exactly. That's what's I really enjoyed introducing people. Of course, I wanted to do the big three, Rome, Florence, Venice, but there also are such great places that pay homage to women, such as there's a museum with one painting of it in Tuscany that has, it's called the Madonna del Parto. It's a pregnant, 9 months pregnant Madonna, and pregnant women are allowed to get in there for free. I don't know any other museum on earth like that, but there's
So what you do is just get a pillow. Sneak in. I love that. Now, what about the great unknown cooking schools?
Oh, well, there are so many great cooking schools, and one that is pretty well known that is in Ravello is Mama Agata's, but I also went to a great one in Tropea, Calabria. Calabria is in the south, and is in a very well-touristed region. And we went up to a little caseta, they call it a little garden shack outside of town, and picked the fava beans and the strawberries and cooked outside on a picnic table, and the moon rose, and we were out there until 2 in the morning cooking and eating and finalizing it all with limoncello. Fabulous.
Oh, not bad. Well, you know, the gastronomic opportunities are amazing, except I have to warn everybody, whether they're women or men, if you go to Florence, you will gain weight, because every 8 feet, there are mounds, I should say mountains, of gelato.
Oh, the most tempting, and I do write about that also, and the best places to go in the big cities, according to me.
But you know what? There's no such thing as bad gelato.
That's true. That's true.
Now, you say to lie. What do you mean by that?
Oh, to lie about when you're leaving and returning. That's one of my favorite travel pieces of advice.
I tell people... You want to be in denial.
No, I don't want to be in denial. I want to. I lie about when I'm going. I say, I'm going July 15th, I say, oh, I'm taking off July 14th. So then nobody bothers me on July 14th, the day before I'm leaving for Italy, where my head is just like, oh, I'm leaving for Italy. And then if I say I'm coming back July 30th, I'll say, oh, I'm coming back July 31st. So nobody calls me on July 30th unless it's my masseuse.
Well, I just got that. The other thing you say, which is interesting because so many women are afraid of doing this, you say go solo.
Absolutely. Italy is such a welcoming country to all travelers, and I've had wonderful experiences traveling with my husband and girlfriend, but also wonderful experiences traveling solo, where you just open yourself to new adventures. You'll meet other women traveling. People take you in as if they're kind of concerned for you, so they'll take you in like generous mamas, and it's been great, and many women are shy about it.
One of the things, speaking about shy and self-esteem, one of the things you talk about, there's actually a psychiatrist in New York who prescribes a trip to Italy for women who need a boost to their self-esteem.
Yes, and I believe this is true. Every woman that I talk to that comes back feels so much better. They say, my gosh, I haven't been flirted with or flirted in years, and Italian men have elevated this art to one of the country's masterpieces.
Yes, in the United States we call that stalking, but that's okay.
It's true, it's been beaten out of you American men, but Italian men do it finally.
All right, the name is 100 Places in Italy Every Woman Should Go for Self-Esteem, for Flirting, for Gelato, and for Lying. How about that?
How about that?
You got it. Susan Van Allen, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate that. And coming up a little bit later in the show, I'm really looking forward to this. A legend, an icon, and somebody I can actually say I've known for a long time, Mr. Andy Williams himself, will be visiting. But first, we're going to be joined with the mayor, or joined by the mayor, maybe joined to the mayor of Branson, Missouri. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Silver Dollar City in Missouri right after these messages.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. Visit great destinations around the corner or across the country. With new RVs starting at just $5,000, memorable vacations have never been more affordable. To get started, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back, 18 minutes after the hour. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you are. I'm going to get my voice back. At least I'm not singing in Branson. I'm just trying to speak in Branson. Actually, we're not in Branson. We're 8 miles west of Branson at Silver Dollar City, celebrating their 50th anniversary. And we always do a segment on the show called Ask the Locals. You can't get more local than my next guest. She's been here since 1968. And in Branson, that says a lot.
It does.
It does. And she's also the mayor of Branson, Missouri. Rayan Presley. Hey, Rayan.
Well, we're so pleased to have you here, Peter.
Now, I always have to ask this question of everybody. What brought you here?
Well, actually, I was a young girl. I was 11, so my parents retired in Branson. So
you had no choice.
I tagged along.
You had no choice.
Well, I was lucky.
Okay. Now, obviously, things have changed radically since 1968.
Yes, Branson continues to evolve and change. We're one of those communities where if I'm gone for a week and I come back, I'm expecting something new. We just really love to see change, and we love entrepreneurs. We just embrace things that are different, but remember our history and our past as well.
How many different theaters in Branson?
Well, there are about 50 different theaters.
One of which you own.
We do, yes, the Presley family.
Now, what's in your theater?
Well, it's the Presley family and a host of other talented entertainers. We opened the original
show. Are you a performing mayor?
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm married into the family, so I don't sing or dance.
You stand in the shadows and applaud.
Oh, that's exactly right. It takes a few people behind the scenes to make it work. But we're the original show on the Strip. So we remind people when they want to see how Branson got started in the music industry, we're one of those things that is authentic.
Now, as a mayor, obviously you're out there to promote your community, to promote your city. But when people don't know about it, and you heard me say earlier about the stereotypical images of the blue-haired ladies on the buses, there's even an image that they're playing slot machines, and yet there are no slot machines.
There's no gambling in Branson. That's exactly right.
So what's the biggest surprise that you have to dispel people about, or that you have to dissuade them or disabuse them of certain notions?
Well, certainly people associate us with a lot of traffic, and we've solved those issues. They do think that it's an older crowd, but we're really a four-season type of destination. So if you come out this time of year, it's lots of families. We really have a big variety of folks that visit Branson.
I will admit to something. When they told me that Silver Dollar City was celebrating its 50th anniversary, I'm saying it couldn't be that old because I never heard of any of these places until 16 years ago.
Well, sometimes a well-kept secret. It's kind of lovely to be a little bit of a secret.
You guys really hit the map with 60 Minutes.
Well, that was a game changer, no doubt. And we had several years of just expansive growth. It changed the whole image of Branson.
Although 60 Minutes described Branson as a hillbilly Las Vegas, I remember Morley Schaefer saying, "Why Branson? I don't know."
Yeah, I think they were a little confused by it, but we don't worry about that. We know who we are inside, and we know that we are about hospitality, making people feel welcome, giving them experience where they can really reconnect with their families and their friends.
When people come here, what's the biggest surprise to them?
I think that people are surprised by how small the town actually is in terms of population. We have about 7,500 people that live here, so they're always wondering where people live. And then I think because the advertising show a lot of glitz and glamour, and we certainly have all that, but 5 minutes in any direction and you're in the middle of the beautiful Ozark Mountains and the rivers and lakes and the really natural beauty.
Let's talk about the airport, because, you know, every city needs airlift.
That's a wonderful thing to have if you want travelers.
And you've got some airlines that are now finally coming in, like you got AirTran and Frontier.
Right, right. Well, those are a great big boon to Branson. I mean, we really feel like that'll give an opportunity, not just for our leisure travelers, but for those who are coming here for conventions and meetings as well.
What's your competition?
Well, now.
Come on.
Any of your family destinations, sure. Obviously. Orlando and Myrtle Beach and those type of places.
But I talk about this all the time on CBS about the real struggle of getting airlift, of getting planes
mm-hmm.
in.
True.
Especially in this environment. I mean, did you have to go begging to get these guys to come in?
Well, my take on it is that there was still an untapped market, and the airlines really understood that. So Branson is well known. We are really a national destination.
I mean, I go back to the AirTran model because I remember what they did in Wichita, Kansas. People forget what happened. The people in Wichita were paying like the 14th highest airfare in the country to go anywhere because nobody wanted to fly there. And they went to AirTran, and they said, "We're going to make you a deal you shouldn't refuse." And you know what that deal was?
Yes.
And they said, "We're going to give you X number of dollars in an escrow account, and anytime your planes are less than 66% full, you can actually dig into that account." And guess what? They didn't have to dig into it because they supported the airline and they came in.
Well, the flights, as I understand, have really been almost full, and I've flown out of there. It's very convenient, just a few miles from
Branson.
Now,
if you're trying AirTran, you're going to Atlanta.
You are. That's the connection to Atlanta, right.
And then Frontier to Denver.
Yes. Yes.
Any other airlines coming in?
Well, there
I know you're trying to get Southwest. I know you are.
Well, isn't everyone?
Of course.
Well, there is Branson Air Express, and they're going to several destinations that are real. It's more like a charter service,
right.
but they have scheduled air service, and they're heading down to Houston and
now
Des Moines.
I came in yesterday to Springfield.
Right.
My producer's luggage, of course, went to Honolulu.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
I'm going to have fun with this one for a week. But nice new airport.
Oh, well, they have a brand new terminal up there. And, of course, Springfield is a much larger airport. Springfield-Branson National Airport. And they have connections to, I think, 13 cities now.
You know what I love about airports? When they call themselves an international airport because they have one flight a year to Canada.
Well, you know, we're all about the marketing, so you can't blame us for trying.
You have one customs guy named Barney Fife, and that's it. You're an international airport.
Well, Springfield's a big airport, though, and they have a lot of connections as well. So, and it's just, a little under an hour for Branson. That's convenient as well.
All right, now I got to ask you this question. Where do you like to hang out that's not in the brochure?
Oh, that's not in the brochure.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm putting you on the spot.
Mm-mm. Well, I'm telling you one of the really fun things to do that I really enjoy, especially this time of year when the heat's kind of bubbling up, is getting a kayak and heading down Lake Taneycomo. It's 52 degrees. You can start up by the dam, and you're all by yourself, and the current just takes you right down towards the middle of Branson.
So no heavy lifting.
Oh, no. It's relaxation all the way.
Were you surprised at how fast the music scene here grew?
Well, I think people have that perception, but really was a steady growth. I mean, there have been shows that have come and go, but, you know, it's a show or two a year. And now we just are blessed to have a lot of really talented entertainers with a variety of music.
From what I understand, it was great word of mouth from the entertainers to the other entertainers.
So, oh, yeah.
Like, you got to come
saying.
Here.
Opportunities
oh,
for
sure.
entertainers. Oh, yeah, for sure. We've been blessed with that. And some world-renowned entertainers that we just are happy to welcome. And
you
happy
guys
to...
like guys like Andy Williams?
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
And what's really nice about that is Branson is a small community, as I said, and the entertainer community is small as well. So there really is a great give and take of ideas and kind of energy. It's a wonderful thing to have.
Is there a type of entertainment you won't book? Not a lot of heavy metal bands coming in.
Well, no, there's not. And I think as someone's already said, we are family friendly. So people often ask, well, how do you screen those? And obviously the mayor doesn't get to do that. But what I find is because we have so many loyal visitors that return.
Repeaters.
Well, they screen the entertainment. So if you bring a type of entertainment here that maybe is not so family friendly, you're not likely to be so successful.
All right. Tell me who tried to play here and who's not playing here now.
Wow. That's kind of cruel, isn't it?
No, it's not cruel. It's called journalism.
I can't think anyone offhand, but there have been people that have shorter runs because they just don't understand.
Like?
Well, Wayne Newton didn't play very long here, yeah. And,
wow. Why? Now, why was that, do you think?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it just didn't fit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was more of a Vegas act.
Yeah. I think so.
That person screaming in the background, by the way, was Andy Williams. Yeah. He's going to be joining us in a second. But, okay, Wayne didn't have a long run, but yet when he came here, he had a lot of promotion.
Sure. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, but, who else?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, there have been a lot of shows that come and go for lots of variety of reasons.
That Peter Greenberg solo act didn't work out very well either.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I've got my Julie London voice on today.
I haven't heard you sing, but maybe you're a dancer. Have you tapped into that any?
Well, believe it or not, I was just telling the Lennon Sisters earlier, for about 6 years, I actually sang and danced on the Perry Como show.
Did you really?
When it was live. Okay, I'm really dating myself. From the original Ziegfeld Theater.
Oh, my gosh.
In New York.
Well, yeah. we could put a theater out here
and
for you.
And then my last year on the Perry Como show, that was the year that they went to tape.
Oh.
And, no, I actually got to see myself.
Oh, what'd you think?
Well, that was my last year. And I'll always remember, I was one of the little kids that he told the Christmas story to and sang to.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the year NBC was promoting their brand new newscaster, the tallest guy I'd ever seen with the reddest hair, Chet Huntley.
Oh.
All right. Madam Mayor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And coming up, we got Andy Williams in just a few minutes right here from Silver Dollar City in Missouri in the Ozarks. Peter Greenberg with Peter Greenberg Worldwide back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from Silver Dollar City in Missouri. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. My next guest, talk about a fish out of water story. Imagine a single woman from Manhattan who had never set foot in the Middle East and ends up in, of all places, Yemen. And resulting from that, her new book, The Woman Who Fell from the Sky, an American journalist in Yemen, her name, Jennifer Style. Hey, Jennifer.
Hello, Peter.
And I apologize for my voice. I feel like I fell out from the sky today, but...
Oh, dear.
I know. But, you know, did you just wake up one morning and say, I got to go to Yemen?
Well, actually, I got an email from an old friend from high school who said he'd been living in Yemen for a couple of years, and he'd been doing a little bit of writing for the Yemen Observer newspaper, and the journalists there were desperately in need of training, so he sent me an email saying, would you come over and train these journalists? So that, it wasn't really my idea at all. I got this email out of the blue and thought, well, sure, why not?
You weren't doing anything else at the time, so let's go to Yemen.
Well, I was. I mean, I had a full-time job. I was the science and health edit writer for the Week magazine.
By the way, one of my favorite magazines, and I'm telling you this because I was a correspondent for many, many years for Newsweek, and The Week is today what Newsweek wants to be. Oh. And I say that almost embarrassingly as a Newsweek alum, but I am a faithful, loyal subscriber to The Week.
Oh, good. Yeah, I had a great time working there. It was really fun to help launch it. So.
Wow. And now, where are you living these days?
Good question. Well, we're officially homeless at the moment. my daughter and I have just been evacuated from Yemen, actually. So... I think we're going to probably be living in Jordan for a few months and then probably moving to the UK, but we're not sure.
But here you go. You go to Yemen. This has got to be the brave new world for you.
Yes. Yeah, quite different.
I mean, I've been to Yemen. Most of my friends can't even point to it on the map.
Right.
And not only that, you and I both know that one of the extracurricular activities in Yemen is kidnapping.
Yeah, there is a bit of kidnapping here and there.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, they do it as a matter of commerce.
Yeah, it's more they kidnap not because they're malicious, towards the West, but simply to use Westerners as bargaining chips with the government. So if a tribe has some people they want to get out of jail, they'll kidnap a bunch of Germans and say, "Well, if you let our people out of jail, we'll give you the Germans back."
So knowing that, you still went.
Yeah. Well, there didn't seem to be a lot of kidnapping in Sana'a, which is the capital, and that's where I was going to be living. I did have this friend who was living there, and he said, you know, don't believe what you read on the State Department website. It's perfectly safe, and, you know, the biggest danger is the traffic rather than...
And was your friend right?
Well, yeah, I think he was right. I mean, the kidnapping tends to happen in fairly predictable places in more remote parts of the country. Not to say it can't happen other places, but...
I mean, the thing about Yemen to me, especially where you were, I mean, this is really transporting yourself literally into a medieval city.
Yeah, yeah. It was like going back in time. I mean, there are villages in Yemen that just seem like they're completely untouched for the last 2,000 years. I mean, people are still living exactly as they did then, you know, herding goats and raising their own crops, traveling long distances by foot to get water, growing pomegranates and bananas, dates, things like that.
There's a silver lining here, of course, and
yeah.
That is you met your love of your life there.
I did, although it's not what the book is about, I want to point out. The book is
about
running the newspaper in Sana'a, and I lived in the old city of Sana'a, which is the most beautiful city I've ever seen.
Just mentioned you were evacuated from there. What's going on?
Well, my fiance was attacked by a suicide bomber last month. But that wasn't the reason we were evacuated. It's just the security situation in general.
Seems wasn't the worse. Reason? That would be a really good reason for me.
Well, he's still there. He's still hard at work in Yemen. But they evacuated all the partners and children of embassy workers, not just us.
Okay, but Jennifer, I have to ask this question.
Yes.
He was attacked by a suicide bomber.
Yes.
You're married to him.
Well, engaged.
Engaged. Close enough.
Yes.
Wouldn't you want to say, honey, can we leave now?
Well, I mean, he was in an armored car. He's fine. I mean, yes, I got nervous about being there, mostly because of my daughter. I have a 7-month-old baby, and I can't really rationalize putting her in danger.
So you say you're officially homeless now. Are you going back there, or are you finally convincing him to move to Amman?
Well, his posting will be up sometime over the next several months. And so, because his original posting was 3 years, and he's actually extended beyond 3 years. So it won't.
He works at the embassy?
Yes, he's the ambassador.
Well, there's a good reason. Okay, so. And by the way, if you move to Amman, I've been in that embassy many times. That's one of the most heavily fortified embassies that we've got, and
really?
one of the biggest. Oh, yeah, and in a great country, by the way. I am a huge fan of Jordan.
No, Jordan's wonderful. I've been to Jordan a couple of times, and Petra is one of my favorite places on earth. So.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah,
it's the best.
That's wonderful. So, I mean, no complaints. We'll be there for a few months so that we can see Tim on the weekends.
All right. Will you please get him out of Yemen so you can write another book and have fun in Amman? Will you please?
I'll do my best.
All right. Jennifer Style, the author of The Woman Who Fell from the Sky, an American journalist in Yemen. If you want to read about culture shock and trying to run a newspaper, not to mention meeting the love of your life when he's not being attacked by suicide bombers in an armored car, this is the book for you. Not your usual travel book, but then again, we're not your usual travel show. Back with Andy Williams. How about that for a segue? Right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Silver Dollar City, celebrating their 50th anniversary here in Missouri. Of course, we're 8 miles west of Branson in the Ozarks. Talk about saving the best for last. I am so thrilled to have as my next guest somebody, I hope you'll let me say this, who I grew up with. Can I say that?
Of course.
Okay.
I was a young man when I met you.
I was younger.
I know, you were a kid.
Mr. Andy Williams, so good to have you.
It's great to see you again. I haven't seen you in a long time.
That's right. And in the interest of full disclosure, I'll tell you where Andy last saw me. My dad was your doctor.
That's right. Dr. Greenberg.
Dr. Sidney Greenberg in New York.
Right.
That's right.
And we met in his office.
We met in his office. And I was a young kid, and I had seen you on TV with the sweater. I remember the sweater. And in fact, when I first saw you, you actually weren't a solo singer. You were with the brothers.
I was with my brothers, the Williams brothers, and I probably with Kay Thompson at that point.
And that's another interest of full disclosure. Basically, my godmother.
I know. I can't believe it.
Yep. And
I didn't know that.
Yes. And
I didn't know about your mother either, Jill.
My mother, Jill, who was a singer with the big bands. She sang with Joe Stafford and Margaret Whiting and Helen O'Connell.
I remember her very well.
Yeah. And
good singer.
And my mom moved to New York at the end of World War II to sing with the Perry Como Chesterfield.
She got you on the show, I assume.
Yep. Well, here's the real story. My mom did not want to be a stage mother. And she had to go over and see somebody on the Perry Como show one day, and she had nobody to leave me with, so she took me. I was 6 years old. And they were rehearsing the annual Christmas special,
right,
where he was teaching, singing to all the kids around the campfire.
Absolutely. I stole that whole idea.
And I wanted to be one of those kids, and they basically tried to explain to me that I couldn't because it was the director's kid and the producer's kid. And obviously, I didn't take the news well. I cried. And the next year, they were rehearsing for they're playing the show, and they wanted a kid with a really sad-looking face. I'm serious. And that's how I got the job.
That is funny.
And that was on for the next 6 years, singing and dancing and everything. And by the way, I never saw myself because in those days, it was all live.
That's right.
And there were kinescopes, but some idiot at NBC burned them.
Well, they burned all of the good kinescopes back then.
Yeah.
The Steve Allen show, when I started on that, they burned most of those. They figured they weren't they weren't important.
Unbelievable.
And,
so much of history.
Know, all of that history is gone. Yeah.
So I have to ask the question, Branson, what brought you here?
I came here because my brother Don, who was managing Ray Stevens, country artist.
Sure, I remember.
You know. As a matter of fact, he's coming back here in a couple months.
Wow.
And he was opening here. He had a theater. And Don said, you really ought to come down and see what's going on here because this is a very unusual place. He said they have 20 theaters here, and they have four.
Had you ever heard of Branson?
No, never. I said, where the hell is Branson?
Yeah.
That got me in a little trouble, too. People in Branson didn't like that. But there were a lot of people who didn't know where Branson was. I had never heard about it. A lot of people today, even, you know. Like Ethel Kennedy doesn't even know where Missouri is, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, they are really living in their own world. People who live in some of the big cities, and they don't think anything happens around, you know, outside of their cities.
So your eyes were opened when you got
my
here.
My eyes were open, and Don said, listen, you'd be the first non-country to come here if you did this. And I said, why would I come here, you know, and give up what I've been doing to come to a little Ozark town? He said, well, just come down and see what it is. So I came down, went to see Ray Stevens, and after the show, he had introduced me while, you know, as a lot of times they do that, introduce celebrities or somebody that's well-known in the audience. And after the show, about 200 people came by and said, why don't you come down here and sing? We never get a chance to go to Las Vegas. We don't go to New York. And we really love to see you. And I got thinking about that. And Don said, listen, if you just do 10% of the people here, you'll be full. So I was tired of working Vegas. I was tired of working New Jersey. I was just tired of traveling all over. And it seemed like a very good idea. So I sold my apartment in New York, sold my orange groves and citrus groves in California, and I plunked down $12 million and I built a theater. It's a beautiful theater.
And, gee, what would the name of that theater be?
Well, it just happens to be called the Andy Williams Moon River Theater.
I'm shocked.
And we have a restaurant across the street called the Andy Williams Moon River Grill.
And this is the Andy Williams Moon River guest appearance on my show.
That's right. So anyway, I decided to
Andy,
do it.
Andy, hold on one second. Okay. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about what you're doing and, of course, the song itself and your book.
Okay.
Back with more of Andy Williams and my terrible voice, his great voice from Silver Dollar City in Missouri, right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
We're back. Sorry about that, folks. We're just gossiping here with Andy Williams. We could do the whole show with you. You know that.
I like that music, too. Boom, 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 boom.
You know, you did a book called Moon River and Me. And if you read the book, you realize that there are just more stories than just Moon River. My God, there was a time in your career you actually were eating dog food.
Well, I ate dog food for a day or two.
That's a time in your career.
I was not doing well, let's say. I was singing in these little dives where nobody knew who I was. You know, they knew me as a Williams brother, but they didn't know me as Andy Williams. And so nobody would listen to me. And it was very disheartening, and, you know, when people get up and dance while you're singing and you're supposed to be doing your act, and people get up and have a beer and throw it at you and things like that. So I was desperate, and I was out of money. I didn't have any money, and I had a dog with me. My dog, his name was Barnaby. He was a boxer. And I traveled with him occasionally. Kay Thompson gave him to me.
Oh.
And I wish he hadn't. Honest,
Kay Thompson gave us our first dog.
Did she really?
She did.
Well, she gave me Barnaby.
Yeah.
And I took him on the road occasionally, and other times he stayed with Kay.
By the way, everybody stayed with Kay at a certain point.
Now she stayed with Liza for so long.
She did, yes.
Anyway, I was just doing terribly bad, and I had to feed my dog, so I got Alpo dog food, and it has big chunks of meat in it, and gravy. And I must say, if you've
got... And beef byproducts.
Well, yes, I have probably horse meat, but... Anyway, if I would go on the air and do a promotion for Alpo because it tasted, it smelled so good. I couldn't, when I was cooking it for him, it smelled so good that I just decided to taste it. And I finished the can after he had finished his portion. And then the next day I had another can because I still had to feed the dog again. And so I got another can. So I really enjoyed it a lot. And then I called my brother Don in Los Angeles and said, will you send me enough money to get out of here? Because I didn't have enough money to get a bus ticket back to New York.
Wow.
And so he sent me the money, wired me the money, and I went back to New York. I stayed in Kay Thompson's apartment. And I eventually then got on the Steve Allen Tonight Show. Bill Harbeck was a friend of mine, and he was producing the show. And he said, Steve Allen is looking for another. I said, who is Steve Allen? Because I didn't know who he was. And Pat Weaver, the head of NBC.
Sigourney Weaver's father.
That's right. Had decided that he was going to start three new shows. He was going to start the Today Show, and he had Dave Garraway for that. He was going to start a show called Home in the afternoon, and then he was going to have a show in the evening, late in the evening. It was going to be called The Tonight Show, and he had Steve Allen. They had two singers already, Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, and they wanted two more because they were going network now. And so I auditioned for him, and I got the job, and I stayed with the show for about 2.5 years. That was the beginning of my television career, and I owe a great deal to Steve Allen. I owe a great deal to Kay Thompson for getting me that gig, really.
And then Johnny Mercer.
Johnny Mercer was a wonderful, wonderful writer. I love Johnny, and he wrote, you know, a lot of the songs that Henry Mancini wrote the music to, and many of which I recorded. Moon River, Wine and Roses, Charade, In the Arms of Love. And I had a love affair with Henry Mancini. I mean, I just thought he was the best thing. And we had a tour. We did tours together. We did them in Japan. We did them in Australia. We did them all through the United States. I worked with Henry for a long time.
And you're performing those songs still?
Yeah, still. A lot of them. What were their great songs?
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. And it's so memorable. I mean, that's it.
Well, Moon
that's,
River...
That's your trademark.
Well, Moon River is that and Wine and Roses and all of the lyrics that Johnny Mercer wrote were very abstract. You know, they weren't right on the nose. They were, well, the days of Wine and Roses, laugh and run away like a child at play through a meadowland toward a closing door, a door that's door marked nevermore that wasn't there before. You know, it isn't the usual kind of lyric.
No kidding.
Very poetic. And same with Moon River.
And ahead of its time.
Yeah, way, way ahead. He was the great lyric writers.
How often are you performing in Branson?
I used to perform here, I'll tell you that. 9 months a year, 2 shows a day, 6 days a week. Now I'm down to 4 months a year. I open September 2nd. I work September, October, November, and half of December. And that's enough.
Absolutely. But actually, it's more than enough when you think about what you're performing. It's great.
Yeah, well, it's the theater is beautiful. I love doing it. I'm still singing pretty good. We put on a variety show, like my old television shows were, with guest stars. And a lot of singing, a lot of dancing, a lot of choreography, a lot of great dancers. And acts that are wonderful.
And the most amazing thing is, how long have you been living in Branson now? How long?
I've been living here. I opened the theater in 1992, built it in 1991.
See, over 18 years now.
Yeah, this will be the 19th year this season.
Unbelievable.
I had no idea, really, when I started this whole transition, I had no idea what would happen. I had never tried it out. You know, I didn't go to somebody else's theater and say, let me try 2 weeks.
And now you're the king of the Ozarks.
Well,
Andy Williams, what a pleasure to have you on.
And pleasure to see you again.
Absolutely. And that music means we're out of time. And I'm angry about that because we got to go. But that means we're out of time for this week. Got to thank a lot of people, of course. Scott, our engineer here. Wayne in New York. Jordan, the art producer, who will find her luggage sometime in the next 3 weeks. And, of course, we'll see you next week from another undisclosed location. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.